This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
If you have your message notes, if you take those out or open your phone with the app today, this is week two in our series that we're calling Christmas is Here. It is here. One of the things I love best about Christmas, I think, is it's not just a single day. Some holidays are just that day, you know. It's just, here's the day, celebrate it, then you're done with it. Christmas is a season. It starts with whenever you put your lights up, I guess. Some of you, did anybody leave their lights up all year? Anybody in here? Or some of you, it's a lot smarter. You're smart. The rest of us are trying to do this, to put it up, take it down. You just leave it up. You just don't turn it on, right, unless you want to. But it's like you put them up, and then you take them down, and then we get ready for next Christmas. But whenever the lights go up, that kind of starts Christmas for me. I want to do a quick poll in here just to find out where you guys are, okay, on your Christmas lights. How many like, and I'll give you the choices, okay, the white lights versus the color lights? How many of the white lights? You just like pure white lights. How many like the color lights, okay? Oh, it's about half and half in here. Last service is about two-thirds and one-third. When I grew up, we had the color lights on the tree, and then now it's all pure white, that kind of stuff. All right, let me see this one. How many, and I'll give you the choices, it's just the straight light is on, or some of the blinking lights, okay? How many like the straight lights are just on? Blinking light people. All right, very good. All right. So if you don't like whichever your family is doing, here's some people you can go visit, right? So if you're a straight, you know, just pure light person, and you want to go visit blinking light people, here they are. How many guys have the lights on the outside of the house this year? You already have it up, all right? How many guys are inside light people only? All right. Candle in the window people, where are you? Candle in the window people, all right, a few of you like that. I like that look, it's a pretty look. Any Moravian star, lit up star in your houses? Okay, quite a few in our culture, especially around here. It's kind of fun, isn't it? And so your lights are up, you're ready for Christmas, everything's ready to go, and that is a great sign of Christmas. I love the lights. Our neighbor across the street did a great job with their yard, so I didn't do mine. I don't do mine anymore. I just watch theirs. It's like their gift to me, and I know they're not happy with me because when they look out their window, they see our Christmas tree in the window, but that's all they get. I love to look at their lights. It's really pretty. They have like those lights to the trees, and they have some swags on their house. They have just a beautiful house. It's like a picture postcard outside our window, and we just say thank you. That's a great Christmas gift to us. And maybe one year I'll do our yard. I don't know. Our house is just kind of plain this year, but that's all right. It's Christmas time. It's time for Christmas lights. Christmas is a time for light, isn't it? In the story of Jesus, if you go back to Luke's story, Luke's account of the story of Jesus, remember what happened? The shepherds are out, and the glory of the Lord shone on them. And I want to know what that looked like. The Shekinah glory of God. Like it was at night, and so somehow when God showed up through the angel and he was speaking, this light shone. Was it like a lightning light? So bright that you could see almost your x-rays of your hands through it, or if it was just a glow? Was it like the sun? We just know it was this glory of God. And that's something very rare to see in the world, isn't it? The Shekinah glory of God. In Matthew, we get the account of the star, right? The light of the star, and it guided the shepherds, and guided the wise men to where they needed to go, and that's a part of the light. So Christmas and lights go together, and today we're going to talk about the light of Jesus, and what does that mean? And we're back in John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1 through 5. We started last week in John 1 through 5, and I want to go back there. John's story of the gospel of Jesus, the story of Jesus' birth, is so different than the other two, and we'll get to the other two in the next couple of weeks. Mark doesn't have anything. Matthew has the story of the Magi. Luke has the typical Christmas story, and John is so different. Here's what John wrote about Christmas. He said, in the beginning was the Word, which we know is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. He's the logical creation of what we talked about, how everything is orderly because of God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, which is a great part of the Christmas story, that the Son of God came into the world and brought light, and the darkness of the world cannot overcome it. That's Jesus. That's the baby we're looking at, the manger. He is the light of the world, and today we're going to talk about what does that mean, that he came to bring life that was light, and what does that mean for your life, and what does it mean for my life, and what does that mean for Christmas? In Genesis chapter 1, very early on, we see that God spoke and there was light, and it was good. And that was a physical light. Eyes could see this light. But the light of Jesus is a spiritual light, and it really impacts our life. And it's so important to understand what does that mean as we look at the Christmas story. Today we're going to look at three things that the light of Jesus brought into our world at Christmas and how that affects us. Before we go any further, I just want to stop and pray. So let's pray together. Father God, I realize how inadequate that we are and I am to really look at your word and understand it. And without your Holy Spirit, it just doesn't make any sense at all. But with the Holy Spirit, you enlighten us and you teach us and you show us and you speak to us. So I pray even at this moment as we look at some word of yours, some truth of yours, that we can just have that impact our life. Show us where we need to change, transform us, speak to us, change us, encourage us, inspire us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. On your outline, we're going to just kick off. What is the light of Jesus? Number one, the light of Jesus illuminates what is good, right, and true. The light of Jesus at Christmas illuminates what is good, right, and true. It shows us. When he came into the world, he showed us what is good, right, and true about the universe. And that's important to know. This week, for some of you guys, I've been tracking this week for a long time, and you know that Star Wars finally finishes this week, maybe, okay? It's like number 9, and it's supposed to be finished after how many years? Since 1977, and they've made over $9 billion, and some of that money is mine, and some of that money may be yours, but the whole thing over 9 different movies, right? And they've added some movies, but the 9 main movies are simply about this, light versus darkness. Light versus darkness. And it appeals to people all over the world because that's a universal thing that we understand, that there is light and there is darkness. And in the light, there's good. In the darkness, there's evil. And we just kind of buy into that. And it borrows the language of the Bible. That movie just grabbed the language of the Bible and said, here, let's kind of take it a different direction. But in the Bible, it talks about light and dark. There is good and there is evil. There are good things in this world. There are right things in this world. There are true things in this world. They're all from God. And there are dark things in this world, and there are evil things in this world, and they are not from God. And Jesus came to reveal those and to illuminate for us which way is right and what is good. You know, as children, maybe this wasn't applying to you, but as children, they're afraid of the dark, right? You don't know why, but there's something in the dark. There's something hiding in your closet. There's something that's scary there. And so what do for your child? You put a nightlight. Some of you still have a nightlight, and that's a good thing. We were talking to one of the members of the band. I'll let them reveal who they are, where they got up in the middle of the night, and they didn't turn on the light, and they stubbed their toe, and they broke their toe. And they have a really gross picture of their toe. What happened? Because they didn't turn on the light. Because in the darkness, we stumble, don't we? You don't know where you are or where you're going, and you're in the dark. It's like, how do I find my way through? How do I know where there's light? How can I get to the right place? And this continues into our life, doesn't it? Everywhere we go, there is light and there is dark. What do you do when you first get to a hotel room you've never been before? What do? You turn on the light. Why do you turn on the light? Because you want to see what the room looks like. Either you're surprised in a good way or you're surprised in a bad way. A few years ago, Stacy and I were driving across country, and I had booked different hotels, and I tried to go cheap one night. You know, I thought, okay, we're traveling across country. I'll just go cheap one night. And so I got a hotel somewhere in New Mexico. I don't know where it was, and we walked in the room, and we turned on the light, and I knew within 5 seconds that her answer was, no, we're not going into that room. And it was, like, scary, and it wasn't clean, and it was like, this is not a good place. I don't know if I want to spend the night here. I don't know what would happen in the middle of the night. So we went back to the desk, and we said, that room really didn't fit us. We turned on the light, and there it was, and she said, well, let me show you a different room. I'll go with you. And so we walked to the other room and turned on the light, and she knew instantly, like, the answer is no. And so she walked us back to the desk and said, I'm just going to refund your money. We said, thank you very much. And we went across the street. Because when you turn the light on, sometimes you see things that aren't good, right? When there's light there, you go, okay, I see what's bad and I see what's good. In a magazine this summer, they ran an article about some scientists down in Antarctica. Now, our summer is their winter. And their sun goes down somewhere near the end of June and doesn't come up again until August. No sunlight whatsoever. So what they did is they sent most of the team home, and they kept some scientists there. And what they began to study over the years is, what effect does complete darkness have on human beings? One of the things they found they had to do is lock up the liquor cabinet because people would start drinking, and it's like, we got to do something. Some of the team would go lock themselves in the room and just become isolated. Other people were like, every day, deal with a counselor. This is getting to me. And in August, they walked out on the ice in sub-zero temperature just for the sun to come up. Just for the sun to come up. As adults, you've ever had that 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, either sickness or your child is sick, or you're worried or you're anxious and all you keep looking for is for the sun to come up? Has that ever happened to you? If the sun will just come up, it'll be better. If I can just get through the night. There's some Christian writers that talk about this as the dark night of the soul. Have you ever been there? The dark night of the soul where it just seems everything's confusing and I don't know the direction to go and I feel it in my spirit and it feels like God's not there or I'm not sure I really believe in God or I'm not really sure how to get out of this problem. The dark night of the soul where there's no hope. You can't grab any hope. You can't grab any direction. You've gone through a tragedy and you're going, I just don't think this will ever end. That's the dark night of the soul and it feels dark, doesn't it? And then we're waiting for the light of Jesus to light that back up and to change that. Jesus talked about the darkness this way in the light. In John chapter 3, 19 through 21, I want to use the Amplified version. And this is what is said. The light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light for their deeds were evil. When are most crimes committed? At night. When are most people getting in trouble? At night. When do you not want to go to the ER? At night. Friday night, you don't want to go to the ER because there's people there that have gotten into stuff and they're paying the consequences. There's things about the darkness. Verse 20, for every wrongdoer hates the light and does not come to the light but shrinks from it. For fear that his sinful, worthless activities will be exposed and condemned. There's a darkness. There's things that aren't good that people do, and they don't want people to know about it. But whoever practices truth and does what is right morally, what is right ethically, is what is right spiritually, comes to the light so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, accomplished in God, divinely prompted, done with God's help and dependence on him. See, there's two different worlds we walk in. One is the darkness where we don't want people to see what's in our heart and what's in our life. Those things that we kind of hide from others. But there's also the good things in life. And there's the things that shine the light of Jesus to other people. And he said, I want you to walk in the light and not in the darkness. And Jesus came to show us how to do that, to live through us so we can reflect him into the world. So there is a difference between darkness and light. But here's the deal. The day before Jesus came, there wasn't that spiritual light in the world. Right? I mean, one day it was dark and then suddenly Jesus was there and the light appears. That's what Christmas is all about. The light has come. When you look at someone's life that doesn't know Jesus and you see things in them, you're going, wonder why. Why do they live like that? Why are they doing those things? And you kind of blame them, get angry at them. But the scripture tells us something entirely different about their life. They're living in darkness because they're blind. They can't see the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 4 through 6, Paul kind of explains that. He says this, in their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And we do have an adversary. The adversary does not want us to see the light. He blinds them to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He keeps them from seeing. They can't see. It's like going to a blind man and saying, can't you see the sunrise? No, I can't see the sunrise. I can't see at all. Before we know Jesus, before we have the Holy Spirit, we cannot see. He came to show light. Verse 5, for we proclaim is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. With ourselves is your service for Jesus' sake. He's explaining his life. But then he says this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give a light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Means when Jesus comes in, it's like he enlightens our mind. Have you ever heard that before? Enlightened? It's like the light bulb goes off and it all makes sense. Did that happen to you, to those who know Christ? Did all of it just make sense one day? Where before, none of it did and suddenly you can't see any other way? It's just so obvious to you. It's like, yes, I get Jesus. It all makes sense. It all fits. But for someone who doesn't know Jesus, none of it works out. It's blind. They're blind. They can't see. They're in darkness. And the thing we should be doing is praying that for them, for their eyes to be opened. Because you don't want to live in darkness. You want to be living in the light. In John 12, 46, this is what Jesus said about himself. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. I came so you could see. See what is it like to live in the life of Jesus. This is what it means to have Jesus in our life, is to see with the light. That's the first thing he did, is to come to show us this is the right way. This is the good way. This is the pure way to live and to have a relationship with God. Number two, the light of Jesus reveals the nature of God. I don't know if you knew that about Jesus, but one of the reasons he came was to reveal the nature of the Father so we could see who he was. When I was a kid, I don't know if I was like anybody else in here, I couldn't wait for Christmas. I grew up in the age, and I'm going to date myself. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, but in October was when the Sears and Roebuck catalog came out. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You waited and you waited and waited. My friend Mary Lynn down the street always got hers before me. I don't know how it happened. So I would go down there, and what you would do is you'd look, and there was a toy section. All right, this is before Amazon, all right? So this is where you found your toys. I didn't know what the toys in the world were. I was in a small town. We had no toy store, but Sears knew all the toys. And what you would do is you go and you'd look for the thing you wanted, and then you'd go home and you would mark the page. You would dog-ear it, right? So when mom was going through looking at the mom stuff, she would have to go through the toy stuff, and she goes, somebody dog-eared that paper, and that means they're going to get this thing. Now, you guys living today, what do? You go on Amazon and you create your own page. You go, these are the things I want. So it's really simple. Go to that page. Here's the things I marked, and let's get them. But you couldn't wait. And for me, it was October to Christmas. And then Christmas Eve, we had a rule. You couldn't come down before 6 a.m. We broke the rule every single year. I don't know anybody else. We came down early, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. My siblings and I sitting at the top of the stairs waiting to hear no noise. No noise meant it's safe to go down and look under the tree. Is there anything under there? And we would go look. And there's stuff under there. And who's what? And they wrapped them, which is an evil thing to do. So what did you do? You shook it, right? You shook it. Go, what does this sound like? How much mass is in there? Is this what I wanted? And then Christmas, you finally could open it. It's like, seemed forever. Wait that last 5 minutes. Your parents would either say, you got to eat the meal first. I mean, did you have to do that like us? We had to eat the meal first, the breakfast, anybody else? Before, nobody else? You got to open your presents. How many get to open presents on Christmas Eve? So you guys are cheaters. Every one of you are cheaters, right? But isn't that more fun? You don't have to wait that way. In the world that Jesus was born into, there were people waiting for the Messiah. There are two people that the scriptures tell us about. One was named Anna. And she lived her whole life waiting for the Messiah. Every day. It's Christmas today. It's Christmas today. Can you imagine going from a childhood to adulthood to widowhood in her place? And you're waiting for the Messiah and every day is not it? There was no Christmas every year for her. And then one day she got to see him. There was another guy named Simeon who was also an older guy who was waiting for the Messiah. And he got to see Jesus as a baby. What a privilege. And this is what he said. In Luke chapter 2, he said this about seeing the baby. For my eyes have seen God's salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. And then he said this, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. A light of revelation. People weren't sure what God was like. Who is God and what is he really going to do? And then here is the baby, and that's God. That's what God looks like. That's what God acts like. This is what God sounds like. This is how God appears in human form, and it must have blown their minds. Here is God revealed to us. Jesus said this about himself in John 14:9, whoever's seen me has seen the Father. You want to know what the Father looks like? Look at me, Jesus said. You want to know what the Father sounds like? Listen to me. You want to know what the Father acts like? Watch me. You want to know what's important to the Father? Listen to what I say. Jesus said, if you see me, you understand what God is like. You understand what God's like. Paul wrote it this way in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We haven't seen God, but you want to know what he looks like? Look at Jesus. Have you ever been with someone that said this, I think God is like? You ever been around someone like this? This is what I think God is like. Or I believe God is like this. And what do? They make something up. I think God is like this. I think God would act like this. And they're just coming up with their own ideas. And so in a sense, they're creating their own God. This is who I think God is. And Jesus said, don't do that. God is this way. And he shines a light on his Father. You want to know what God is like? 1 John 1:5. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I don't want you to point to the person next to you or anything like that today, but let me just ask you this. Who is the best person you've ever known? With the purest heart, the sweetest person in the world that doesn't think evil of anybody. Now, maybe you came here with that person today. Maybe you know that person. This is the nicest person. the most loving person in the world. I hope that you came with them today. Some of you are going, not the person I'm next to. I don't know about them, all right? But even that person that you like so much and you just think the best of them, you know those little secrets about them, right? They don't replace the toilet paper like they're supposed to. They turn it backwards. It's not good. They make weird noises in their sleep. That's not good. They eat the last cookie out of the package, and they put the empty package back in the cupboard, and that's not good. I mean, you come up with a thing. They pretend they're asleep when the baby's crying, so I have to get up. There's this aspect of little people, right, that are around you that are just not quite perfect. Let's just admit it. We're all not perfect. And then there's God. There is no darkness in God. Think about that. There is no word out of God's mouth that's ever wrong. I've said a few wrong things in my life. I've thought some wrong things that I didn't say in my life. Has it ever happened to you? It's never happened to God. God's never done anything that wasn't perfect and holy and right. God never had an ulterior motive. You ever done anything with an ulterior motive? You did something to be nice to someone because you wanted them to be nice back to you. Have you ever done that before? Kids around Christmas, have you been a little better than you used to be because you're looking for good things? I mean, that's ulterior motives. You ever had a false motive in your life? You hid what was really in your heart. You ever done anything to notice to get a raise? We do this all the time, right? We're human beings. God's never done that. He is pure and holy. And Jesus came to shine that spotlight and say, God, look at him. When Jesus came, it was out of the purest motives and the purest attitude and the purest drive so that God could say, this is how much I love you. Here's my son. And in me, there is no darkness. One of my favorite descriptions of Jesus is in John chapter 1. As John's telling us who Jesus is, he wrote this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father. And then he says, full of grace and truth. Some people are full of grace, right? What does that mean, graceful? We like to watch them do what they're going to do. Graceful people are like this. They're accepting, they're forgiving, they're merciful. Jesus was full of grace. Wherever he ran into somebody, he was graceful to them. He accepted them. He welcomed them into their life. But he's also full of truth, right? He didn't pull punches. Sometimes we're afraid to tell people certain things. We're afraid we're going to hurt their feelings. But Jesus was never like that. He always was graceful. I accept you. But here's the truth about you. Jesus would accept all kinds of people. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? And how would you like to be that person throughout history? We don't even know her name. All we know is she was caught in adultery. And where was the man? We don't know. All we know, there was a woman, and she was living in darkness, right? She was doing dark deeds in the middle of the night, and they brought her out in front of Jesus, and they all lined up. We're going to kill this woman, because in our culture, that's worthy of killing. And they started to do this. They brought her to Jesus, basically. Said, what are you going to do about it? Are you filled with grace or you filled with truth? Which one? You pick. And Jesus kind of looked at him. He drew some things in the soil. We don't really know. There's a lot of things that people guess about. But he basically said to the people, which one of you is without sin? Which one of you is perfect? Which one of you out there has no darkness in you at all? None of them were that way. And they slowly began to drop their stones. Okay, you're right. I'm not going to condemn you. And Jesus, after they were all gone, said to the woman, where's your accusers? They're gone. I don't accuse you either. I don't condemn you either. I'm going to give you grace. But then what did he say? Go and sin no more. He gave grace and truth. He says, you don't want to live in the darkness. You don't want to do those kinds of things in the world because I am full of grace. I accept you. I'll forgive you. I'll welcome you. I'm here for you. I protected you. But I'm also going to tell you the truth. If you walk in that darkness, there'll be consequences. There's not the way you're supposed to live. It's not how you find love. It's not going to make you fulfilled. My way is better. So he gave both grace and truth. You understand that? That's what God is. He looks at you with all understanding and says, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to offer you mercy. I'm going to accept you, but also I'm going to tell you where you need to change. Because that's what Jesus did. He revealed who the Father really is, a God of grace and a God of truth and a God who is purely pure goodness, and there's no darkness. And Jesus came to reveal that. Third and last thing that Jesus came to reveal about the light of himself is this. He shows us the way to go in life. Light is very helpful in seeing the way to go, right? Whether it's the night light in your house or the flashlight you carry, it helps you see where to go. It shows us the way to go in life. One of the things that I enjoyed was when the boys were little, we were in Cub Scouts. I say we, they were in Cub Scouts. I helped. And we went to Camp Raven Knob, which is up near Mount Airy, and I love going there. The trouble is, a couple of times I would forget a flashlight, and you'd be walking in the darkness from one place to the other, and there was no light. And I probably did what some of you have done. I've done this before with no flashlight. You're just trying to find your way, and you walk into a spider web. Has it ever happened to you? And your first question is, where's the spider? I mean, let's be right. Where's the spider? You just went through the web. You know he's probably in your hair. He's probably going down your back even now as you're thinking about it, and you're going, who forgot the flashlight? If I had a flashlight, I wouldn't have walked in there, but there's that creepy feeling there's a spider somewhere on me, and if I just had some light, I would not have done that, right? And if you find the spider, what do? You stomp on the poor thing, but that's what we do. But we can't see without light. Light shows us the way. And Jesus said in John 8:12, he spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'll show you the way to go. I'll direct you in the path that you should be on. You won't walk into the spider web, right? I'm going to help you go through life. For 19 years of my life, I lived in Southern California. I lived in the city of Anaheim and that area. It's Orange County, it's Disneyland, all that stuff just outside of L.A. And for about 19 years, I think I never used the brights in my car once, unless I went out of town. There was never an opportunity. You're always hoping for it, right? But there's always lights around. There's always somebody driving. So I never used the brights on my car until I came back here. And you can use the brights on your car here. Do you guys know that? Some of you are going to drive right now without lights at all. But you drive at night, and you turn your brights on, right? Isn't that fun? Now, the shortest day of the year is coming up. Did you guys know that? The 21st? And that's like, everybody's going, I dread that day. Because you got to get up in the dark. You go to work in the dark. You come home in the dark. Everybody's going, who decided this? Well, this is the way our universe works. Our earth works, right? But on that night, if you're driving on a country road, you're going to use the brights probably, right? Why? What's on the side of the road that you want to avoid? Deer. And what else? Possums and raccoons. We didn't see any of those in California very often, all right? But you turn on the brights because you see those deer, and those deer are just waiting for somebody to come by. It's like a big game of Frogger, right? They're going to run in front of you, and you got the brights on. You see the deer, and he's like thinking, do I run or not run? I can't tell because those bright lights are my eyes. I can't see. And you can slow down, hopefully. Now, some of you speed up. It's not good, all right? But there's the raccoons. There's the possums on the side of the road, too. And like this time of year, they're dead everywhere, right? Because they're crossing the road, and we're supposed to use our brights to see where to go. You ever had to use your brights to see where to turn? Some of our country roads, if you don't know where to turn without your brights on. And it's a cool thing just to click it on, and there's some light. Now I can see. Now I know how to get where I'm going, and I'm not driving in the darkness. Psalm 119, verse 30, written over 3,000 years ago. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. God's word gives us light, and he shows us the way to go. Our elders took a semi-retreat Friday night, Saturday morning. I say semi because we didn't go anywhere. We stayed here. We met here at the facility. And we're basically looking at 2020 saying, God, we can't see the future. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what you're going to be doing, but we're going to ask you just to show us how to get to where you want us to go. And so we spent time in prayer. We spent time in the word. And we spent time just talking and trying to discern what do we need to focus on when we think about how do we help the church get to where God wants us to be. Every year it's the same idea. What do you want us to do, God? And one of the things that we came up with and we prayed about and we're thinking through is last spring we did a study, a survey of the church. And one of the things it said about our church is that we need to do a better job at embedding the Bible in everything. I thought we were doing a great job at this. But you guys, and I took it too, and we all kind of said together, here's an area maybe we can get a little better in, to really get in God's word and say to God, I need to know. I need to know what you want me to do. God, I need you to show me who's the person I'm supposed to become. And that's revealed to the light of his word. Today is December, what, 15th? And then in a few weeks, we're going to go New Year's. New Year's is a great time to start getting in the word. Maybe it's a great time to buy a devotional. Maybe give it to someone as a gift. Make sure it's got the word of God. Go on your phones, get the YouVersion, download a daily Bible verse. Get in the Word every single day. Study it, memorize it, meditate on it, think about it. Say, God, I want to know the direction for my life. I want to know what kind of person you want me to be, because the light of God's Word shines inside and it shows us who we really are and where we really fall short of becoming like Jesus, and it shows us the pathway of how to become like Him. So in 2020, we're going to be showing more and more, encouraging more and more, get in the Word, learn the Word, know the Word, live the Word, let God show you. In Psalm 25, the writer gives us an idea of how to live life. And it says this about God: He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness of those who keep His covenant and testimonies. When we're humble, when we're looking and saying, God, I can't see, I need your help. God, I need your direction. He says, I give you guidance. I'll lead you. I'll teach you. I'll show you the way to go. That's what He does for us. Because there's times we're in the dark, aren't we? You ever felt like you're in the dark about what to do next? You have a decision to make and you're not sure what decision to make. You have medical issues you're dealing with. You're not sure which way to go. You got relationship issues and you're not sure how to move forward. You've got health issues where the doctor's saying this thing and your friends are telling you something else and the internet's telling you something else. You're not sure. You're dealing with tragedy. You're wondering if you're ever going to get through this, and it feels like a dark place. It feels like a dark place. And you're asking God, God, show me the path. Move me out of the darkness. When Stacy and I got married, we took a honeymoon that was mostly my idea, and I think I did all right. I planned it. So we went up the coast of California, saw some great places. Then I made her go to a national park. All right, we went to Kings Canyon, Sequoia National Park. It's really beautiful. I got her out of her comfort zone. She would rather be at a mall. I wanted to be outdoors. We kind of compromised on that. But when we went to Kings Canyon, there was this cavern that we went into, and it was so cool. Have you ever been to Linville Caverns? You guys ever been there? It's not far. Go there. It's wonderful. It's very, very similar. You go in these caverns, and you go a little bit further in there, and they're lit up, right? They have these lights, and you can see the stalactites and stalagmites. I don't know which one's which, but they're in there, right? And there's beautiful caverns, and it's just a wonderful place to go. And then they lead you, almost all of them do the same thing. They lead you in this area, and they show everything, and then they turn the lights out. You ever been in that? It is freaky, oppressive, all right? When there's no light and you can't touch anything and your equilibrium's going like this or going like that and you're like trying to grab something, you don't know which way's forward or which way's back. Like if we turn the lights off in here, we would still have the lights there. It wouldn't be a big deal. But have you ever been where it's totally dark? I mean, this place was totally dark. I had a really nice camera with a really nice flash on it, and I had my hand holding it, and there's a reset button on there, and the ranger was telling us how beautiful this place is and how dark it was around the corner and all this stuff and talking about the darkness, and my finger hit the reset button. And what that means is the flash went off, and it lit the whole place up, and everybody's pupils were as big as they could get, and suddenly everybody's pupils shut down, and the lady goes, "Who's the jerk that did that?" I will tell you, I did not confess that day. I told him it was Stacy and I did. But it was like lit up the whole place, and for a second you could see everything and the darkness was gone, and then there was darkness again until the ranger turned the light back on. With us, when we're trying to get somewhere and we're saying, God, I need to see the pathway, here's what I think He does. He lights it up just enough for us to see a step. Here's a step. Take this step. Here's the reality of your situation. I'm still here with you. I haven't left you. You're okay. You can't see the future right now. I'm not going to reveal it to you, perhaps. I just want you to walk with me. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay because you have the light. You have the light of Jesus with you. And in those moments of darkness where you're not sure what's going to happen, you just go, okay, I can't see right now. The lights are off. I can't see, but I'm standing here with Jesus. And He's going to get me through. He's going to show me how. He's going to make a way. He's going to open a door. And I can trust Him. Because when you look in the manger at that baby, that's the light of the world who gives life. There's a great prayer for anybody that's ever been in a situation where you don't know what to do. You don't know how to connect with the person who doesn't know Jesus. You tried. You tried to share Christ with them. They don't want to hear it. Their eyes are blind. You can't make them see. There's times where you're in the darkness where you get the medical stuff. You just don't know what to do next. You don't know how to help your children change the way they need to live. You don't know what's next in your career. You don't know what school to go to. There's times we all face those darknesses. Here's a simple prayer. Psalm 5:8. Might be something you want to pray. Here's the prayer. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, where my enemies will conquer me. Make your way plain for me to follow. I love that last part. Is this the writer saying, if you don't make it plain, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. And you go, well, I don't have any enemies. You have an adversary that doesn't want you to see forward. We all have that same adversary that doesn't want us to see out of the darkness. We all have that one. Some of us are dealing with depression. That's an enemy, right? Where it just covers you like a blanket, like being in a cave where they turn the lights out. It's just almost heavy on you. Discouragement is almost heavy on you in a darkness. Despair is almost heavy on you. You're not sure which way to go, or you're not sure how to help someone who doesn't know which way to go. And we pray this prayer, and the light comes on. The light comes on, and he shows us the way to go. Today, wherever you are with Jesus, as we stop and pray, maybe there's an area in your life where you just need some light to go on, some direction in life, some healing in life. Let's just pray this prayer together, and let's give to God those places of darkness that either we're in or someone we know is in, that God will show us the way out. So let's pray together. Father, today we do want to pray this prayer. We know it's your word. So if we pray your word, we know it's true. And we know it's good and we know it's right. So today, Father God, as a church, we pray this. Lead me in the right path, O Lord. We want to know the right path. Which path to choose and how to move forward in 2020 and the years to come. And we ask you to continue being our lion who will fight the battles for us because our enemies will conquer us without you. But with you, there's victory and there's joy and there's healing and there's hope and there's direction. And we pray that you will make your way plain for us to follow. Father, we are people who are weak. We're easily distracted. We take our minds off of you. We look at different things. Make the light so bright that we can't miss the pathway. And I pray, Father, for each one of us in the times of darkness, we'll hold on to you, realizing you never left us, that you have a plan, you have a way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, and by him we can be saved. By him we can know the way. So, Father, just take us and shine the light of Jesus in us and through us. And we pray this in his name. Amen. As part of that prayer, maybe you have an area where you're asking guidance. And we always say, hey, look, just write on your card. We'll pray for you. See us after the service. Come find me. There's people here that will pray with you. We'd love to do that. Keep turning to God with these different areas. In our services every week, we stop and we just say we want to connect with Jesus in a way that's a little different. It's called communion. It's eating the bread and drinking the juice. Today, I want to go to the verses I've never used in the years of ministry I've ever been in. I want to use it for communion. It's 1 John 2:7-12. And John is writing and he says this, "Behold, beloved," and I love how John writes. He'll say like beloved or little children, because when he wrote this, he was an older man. He says, I'm writing to you, no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So there's an old way, there's a new way, but really the new way and the old way connect is what he's saying, because the light is shining. Here's the verse that kind of hits me. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him then there is no cause for stumbling. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Usually we talk about sin in general, and that's an important thing to remember. Everyone comes into a different place. But in this one, he's picking on a particular sin, and it's the sin of hatred. He specifically says the sin of hatred against the brother, but I think you can take it to any human being. And I think during this time of communion, as we approach Christmas time, to really stop and go, is there anybody in my heart that I hate, that I want evil toward? Is there anybody in my life that I just look at them differently. It may be a single person that just ticks you off. You don't like certain things about them. They've been your enemy. They've been your oppressor, whatever it may be. They've done things to you. They've hurt you. It may be a group of people. Even Christians deal sometimes with prejudice or racism. They deal with things in our heart that's a type of racism or hatred that God says that's not acceptable. That's darkness, and it's time to pray that out and to confess it. We don't have times of confession for us to come up and share these things, but just to stop and look at our life and say, God, is there any hatred in my life for anyone? Is there a barrier between me and you that's been placed there by myself? And if so, I want that gone. John's saying to walk in the light is to love. To walk in darkness is hatred. And the hatred creates a prison around us that keeps us from moving forward and being free. So maybe today, before you take communion, just ask God a simple thing. God, show me if there's any hatred. There's not, great. Let him deal with you in whatever area you're dealing with. But there's ever a hatred, an anger towards someone, a lack of forgiveness towards someone. Stop and just deal with him at that moment and say, God, I ask your forgiveness. I confess it to you. I want to walk in darkness no longer. I want to walk in the light. So let's just pray together. Father God, at this time of communion, this time when we reflect on the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, we just ask you to reveal in our hearts, is there any area of hatred that we need to get rid of, a prison we build around ourselves against a single individual or a group of people, a lifestyle that we maybe hate or have had that in our heart? Just help us to stop and go, help us to see that, Father, and just help us to live in truth and in grace. Father, help us to love as you called us to love. You are the God who judges, not us. You are the one that can handle truth and grace. So, Father, at this moment, just help us to see with clear eyes, with the light of Christ, any area that needs to be confessed before you, to you alone, and then in that freedom, help us to move forward. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that we are with you, cleansed and made righteous in Christ. And we pray this in his name because he won the victory. He is the Lion and the Lamb. Amen.